exciting. And thank you for your patience this evening as we're having this little technical difficulty. I do my very best to prepare for these occasions, and I just missed the date on this telephone number. I've been struggling for the last few minutes to get everyone connected on the telephone. Welcome this evening. We're going to be taking on a very exciting subject this evening, and those of you who are visiting us for the first time, we'd like to welcome you to a celebration of life. We do this every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This is an opportunity for us to dive deeply into the six qualities of an intentional creator. We've had the privilege of going into quality number one, connecting with people, and learning the seven principles of intrinsic validation. We've also had the privilege of going into quality number two, which is about mental creation. Now, it's very exciting because I'm just working on the book. I've got a deadline of February 28th to have it finished, and I've been going back through all of the pages and rewriting. I spent 12 hours this weekend and another five today on this very topic, on mental creation, just fine-tuning this and getting it as clear as we possibly can make it. This is such a different approach to the topic of mental creation, which goal setting and planning is a critical piece of this quality. I want to spend just a moment. First of all, welcome all of you who are here with us tonight, those who are regulars, those who are visiting with us. We would invite you to get your intentional creation studio so that you can explore this information in between the calls. We'd like to welcome any of those of you who are in committed companionships. March 16th of next month, we're going to have our couples retreat up at the cabin. We're very excited about this event. It'll be the last of the great winter snow for snowmobiling, so we'll have a great experience up there taking on the subjects of commitment and trust and intimacy. So if there's anything that we can do to be of service in this area, if you have any questions, call the office and talk to Chase. You can reach him at 1-800, oh my goodness, it's going to test my memory, 701-2394. I think that's correct, 800-701-2394. Before we jump in tonight, I have to share with you, part of the discussion tonight is planning and goal setting for relationships. And it's very thrilling the weekend and today to be working on this and reflecting on Ramona. Ramona's sitting with me. Ramona, if you want to poke your head in here and just say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
This Sunday, we celebrate our 36th wedding anniversary. It's just so exciting to be in a loving relationship where both parties are focused on serving and blessing and lifting the other person involved. We're just so excited to be able to share this time together this weekend. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about goals and expectations and creating these wonderful relationships. So if you don't have one, you can get one. And if you're in one, you can improve it. When we talk about mental creation, just in review, just for a moment, we're talking about one of two stages of creation. Both are equally important. One of them occurs in our mind. The other occurs in tangible reality. Now, what occurs in our mind is very critical because 97% of those of you watching this tonight have two thought processes in common, if not others, but at least these two. And they help us engage in very vivid visualization. And when we engage in vivid visualization, our body is made, and this is just the way it's designed, the same brain chemistry and brain circuitry that would be occurring if we were actually at that event, that actually transpires in our mind. It creates a new reality. That is the brain's reality. It becomes an expectation, a concrete condition for happiness, a non-negotiable mental monolith. Not only do we have to be careful because of the thought processes shared by the vast majority of everyone on the call and their ability to have us have the same brain chemistry and brain circuitry, it's also just so critical that we focus them on things that are constructive. Because when we're focusing in this particular thought process, call it systemic thought, It processes dualistically, which means all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose, life or death. So we go into our mind, we create this construct, this expectation, this concrete condition for happiness, this mental monolith. And when it's created, and it's very real to the mind, it's very real, it can create physiological reactions, physical reactions, tears, arousal, all kinds of things can happen because of the vividness of that image in our mind. Not only is it concrete, when I say non-negotiable, that's what I mean by systemic. It's all or nothing. It is either that or it is nothing. This is a concept that's sometimes hard to grasp unless you've experienced that high emotional high and low emotional low that comes in fantasy. All or nothing. It's not something we get to choose. This is how a systemic thought processes. So when we get locked into the expectation every time, which is literally every time, life shows up differently than our fantasy, our expectation. The body goes into this violent reaction to guard and protect that image. It's that real. So if we're guarding and protecting the image, and the body is reacting, we're going to go through just an enormously difficult challenge. We talk about norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is the drug of choice. Norepinephrine courses through our body when we're in fantasy. It's a euphoric drug. It makes us feel wonderful. Matter of fact, I was writing early this morning about Dr. Hawkins' work in Power versus Force, where he has the map of consciousness that goes from fear and anger all the way up to joy and peace. And he was talking about the fact that when we take a drug like alcohol or drugs, it artificially takes us to a higher level of consciousness. We're not really addicted to the drug. We're addicted to where the drug takes us. What a correlation between that and fantasy, where norepinephrine takes us to this place where we get to experience a love without any of the commitment. Get to experience a joy without any of the sorrow. This is a wonderful place, but it exists only in the mind, and it creates all kinds of challenges for us. However, when we learn to use our mind constructively, that means in a way in which we engage the universe, if you will, I call that God, we receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will ignite our passion. This excites our mind. I talked about this last week. If we're wired to a functional MRI, parts of our brain would light up that we normally don't use. It excites our mind and ignites our passion. And then we bring our passion into here and now, and it drives our focus and discipline and effort and action. Well, we're going to go into a goal-setting exercise tonight where we're going to use all of these pieces. You see, there's just enough of a kernel of truth to vivid visualization creates tangible reality for us to get attracted, if you will, to that kind of a millionaire magic doctrine, believing that in our mind, if we think vividly, physical reality will manifest. It'll just appear. You know, like the alchemists back when they were trying to take coal and turn it into gold. We know that didn't work. But we do know that coal can be put under pressure. It's called perturbation, pressure, and heat. And those carbon atoms will turn into a diamond. Well, we're not going to try to turn our coal into gold. We're going to turn our coal into diamonds. We're going to do something tonight that will help you understand. I do hope I can bring all my energy that I can bring to this to help you understand, assist you in goal setting in perhaps a different way than you've ever done it before, so that it's not just a to-do list. It's something that is alive and powerful, in which all of these powers that are involved in vivid visualization can be utilized in such a way that you can create your dreams in tangible reality. Well, when we're talking about goal setting, one of the great risks that we run into is creating those lists of all the things we're going to do. Anybody do that last month in January? You know, all of those New Year's resolutions. All those things, I have to do this, I need to lose 10 pounds, I should, I must, I ought to. All those obligations that we create in a to-do list. That's not goal setting. That's creating obligation. And then trying to discipline ourselves to do all that boring and mundane and repetitious and burdensome and hard thing, you know. Oh, my goodness. That's why these New Year's resolutions don't last more than a week or two, and we're already starting to fall off the wagon. Because it's missing passion. It's missing passion. Passion, that willingness to suffer for something that we love, that thing which is ignited in our mind, that excites our mind and drives us. We just can't stop doing it. It's just exciting to be involved. There's nothing boring or mundane or repetitious about it. Interestingly enough, those who goal set the way I'm going to share with you tonight often don't even write their goals down. Now, I recommend that you do, that you keep a journal. I learned that from my coach, Kevin Hall. I've just gone through all kinds of journals since I've been coaching with him. Write them down. But you're just writing them down for recordation, for reference. Because when you goal set the way we're going to talk tonight, the goal is indelibly imprinted in your mind, just like a fantasy is. Same brain chemistry. Brain circuitries occurred as if you were there. Except for instead of going there to escape and avoid all the rigors of life, where we just want to have a life free of stress and pain and frustration, we're going into this goal-setting space using our vivid visualization to look at possibilities. Possibilities. To have a clear vision, ideas and impressions that just ignite our mind and our passion. And then we get very clear on all the steps required, all of the required steps between our vision and where we are. That means as we're in our daily actions, we're not working off a to-do list. We're working off what's next list. What's the next thing I get to do to get me one step closer to my dream? Now, I mentioned this briefly last week, I'll mention it today. We talk about the need for a why. You need to have a why big enough, you know, a big enough why to drive your actions. Well, if your why is rooted in fantasy, it can't be big enough. It can be as big as big can be, and it will never inspire passion. Everything about it's antithetical to passion. We'll want our why grounded in the goal-setting exercises we're going to do tonight. Because when your why is grounded here, it doesn't have to be prodigious. It just has to be meaningful. And it ignites passion. Our willingness to do the work between here and there, the next thing. What we're going to cover, I'm going to watch time closely because right at 8 o'clock our time, I fly out the door to go give a speech tonight of all things. How fun does that sound? About a 45-minute trip and I'm at the end of a meeting and I get to give a speech. I'm so excited to share these principles with this organization tonight. I'll watch the clock so that we get as much in as we possibly can tonight. I want to start this exercise by talking about how to build a goal around a relationship. This is a tender time. As I mentioned, Ramona and I are celebrating our 36th wedding anniversary on Sunday. If we can do it here, we can do it anywhere. If we do it everywhere else and don't do it here, that would be a tragedy. So if you're in a loving relationship, pay attention. If you'd like to be in one, pay attention, and I'll do my very best to share with you how to use all of the gifts related to vivid visualization in goal setting in such a way that it'll ignite your passion. So just pull out a paper and pen. I've got one right here with me. I'll take some notes as we're going through this. The very first thing I'd like you to do is write age 85. Age 85. Now, that's a safe age. That's why I picked it. It could be, if you're very young, you could make it 65 or 55. I'm 57, so 85 is just too close. So I look at age 85. I want you to close your eyes, even if you're watching this on the video. Just close your eyes. I want you to share with me where you are, who you're with. How do you feel about this person? Just be in the experience. Now, if you're having any trouble just getting into this visual experience, go to a time in the past when you might have been fantasizing about a Ferrari or a nice home or being debt-free and no more pain. Remember how effortlessly that just flowed? Just be in that kind of a space. Or we're focusing on someone that we just love with all of our heart. You start to see them? Where are you? Ramona and I do this together. We're sitting on the back porch of the cabin up at Bear Lake overlooking the lake. It's summertime. It's a cool evening. We're sipping on some hot chocolate, some herbal tea. I just want you to be there for a moment. Because the vision is the most important part of what we're about to talk about. See it? What kind of health are you in? Financially, emotionally, spiritually. What's going on in your life? Now, turn and look at your companion. Just reach out and hold their hand, his or her hand. Look into their eyes. And reflect on all of the sacrifices and all the energy and maybe times when there might have been illnesses or job losses. Anything that happened between February 8th, 2011, that's today, and age 85. You don't need to make this up. Just be with it. See what comes. Because we're about to start the goal-setting process using this vision. Now, you may never have felt this way about someone before. Oh, to have this kind of a companion in your life, where you just look at them and sometimes it just, your heart just skips a beat. Imagine being able to be there at age 85 and look at them and say, I've been faithful to you in every way possible. And if there have been challenges from February 8th to age 85, I've made that commitment, 100% committed to you in every way. Trust abounds. Intimacy is tender and sweet. So we got the vision. Now, what we're going to want to discover is what we have done between February 8th, 2011 and age 85. And the way we'll do that is to address the next year, the next calendar year. What could you do in the next year that would help create, intentionally create that relationship? What could you do? Just write it down. I might write down, spend a week somewhere together. Just the two of you. Anybody say, well, we can't afford that. And I smile and say, there's a reason. There's a reason to drive you that day you didn't feel like working. You felt like just getting away from it all, or you felt like being in catastrophe or worry, or in fantasy, and you consciously choose not to because you're creating the revenue that will pay for that 1 week. So here we are, annually. Write it down. What do you want to do? be afraid. Just what do you see? Do you see yourselves in Maui? See yourselves in Europe? Do you see yourselves at a campground enjoying time together, fishing, hunting? What is it that really would get you excited? Write that down. Next, once a quarter. Once a quarter. We all need someone to love, someone who loves us, and something to look forward to. With the firestorms that are raging around us today, it's so critical that we have scheduled times that we can look forward to and say, I can make it till then. I know I can make it till at least then, no matter how hard it is in a given day. It's only 2 weeks away. Now it's only 1 week away. Something to look forward to. And a quarterly retreat would be very appropriate. About 3 days. 3 days. Again, I can't afford that. What are we going to do with the kids? That's what you're going to use your vivid visualization to do, to figure out solutions to those problems. Instead of spending our time over here fantasizing about Ferraris and houses and no more stress or pain, we're going to use that gift to address and come up with creative solutions to those barriers. Isn't that awesome? So that every quarter you have 3 days. 3 days. Once a month. Once a month you commit a day. 1 day. Now guys, I've done this recently. Sweetheart, if you could do anything you wanted to do, I know what she's going to say. I already know. It's something that maybe I don't feel like doing that day. But if you've got courage, I'm yours for the day. Cell phones turned off. Male, female, both of you, phones turned off. No checking the text messages or the emails. Just shut off. Shut off. I'm totally yours for the day. What would you like to do? And then do that. Oh, what a gift to give to one another. Now, once a week, a non-negotiable date. Now, some of those dates are going to be unplanned, and I know Ramona and I have had these kinds of dates where you get done with a week and you climb in the car and it's Friday night, and I turn to Ramona and say, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Like to get something to eat? Yeah. What should we get? I don't know. What do you think? Want to go to a movie? Yeah. Which movie? I don't know. What's playing? Just kind of one of those, that's okay. That's okay. Just reach over and take your companion's hand and look in their eyes and just say, the most important thing is that you and I are together tonight. It's just the two of us. What we do isn't as important as the fact that we're doing it. Non-negotiable date night. Can you feel it coming? Okay, now we're going to move to the daily routine. What are you going to do today? Daily activities. What is your mind seeing? Any possibilities? Intrinsic validation. Unanimous opinion at our women's retreat. Men do not listen. We just fix. So we get to listen. Ladies, you can listen. You're better at it than we are. Intrinsically validate. The gift is not the wise solution. The gift is just listening, caring enough about our companion to give them a few moments. Now we take it a step further, and we might write a little note. Or if we're leaving the house and one is here, or they're getting ready to leave, we take just a minute, we just hold them, and we hold them just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Then we kiss them. Maybe just a little bit more passionately. We look them right in the eye. Tell them how much we love them. What else are you saying? Here's the question. If on your to-do list today it said, intrinsically validate my wife or husband, companion, I'm make sure Sally's available for Friday night to watch the kids. Call the hotel to make sure that we've got a reservation set up for our quarterly retreat. Just in this one area of our life, in a relationship, if there were things on our to-do list to do, and we could feel what it was like at age 85, we were excited to spend that time with one another. Can you imagine the passion with which we would take those actions that day? And then the next day. Once a week, the date. Once a month, the day. Once a quarter, the retreat. Once a year, the week. Here's the question. If that's all we did, what's the likelihood that at age 85 we'd be sitting in this wonderful place, madly in love? And the answer is highly likely. It's not complicated. It's just intentional. If we want a great relationship, this is where we're going to want to start. Get a vision. Work your way back. Year, quarter, month, week, and day. Know why you're doing what you're doing each day, each week, each month, each quarter, and each year, and you will intentionally create a loving relationship. Now, if you don't have one, I'm just constantly reminded of how this works. I was in a coaching session this week having this conversation, this very conversation. Every month, I have the privilege of coaching with this a beautiful human being. He started this whole process many years ago. Started coaching with him in a very difficult circumstance. Got his life stabilized. And we had a discussion about the fact that he wanted to have a loving relationship. Because all the relationships he'd had to that point were just awful. They just were. And so we started this process. I had him pull out a piece of paper, and if you don't have a loving relationship, pull out a piece of paper. Let me give you just a couple of little guides in goal setting. The first thing I had him do was vividly visualize this person of his dreams. He just closed his eyes and just visualized her. Same way he would think about a car or a house or being out of debt or scuba diving in the Caribbean in his fantasy. This is just seeing her in his mind. Being there. What would it be like to be with her? To be around her? To feel of her love? What would that be like? Once he got clear of that feeling, not clear of, but clear about, I asked him to make a list of all of the characteristics of this dream person. And with that list, we then, the next week, engaged in a visualization from her perspective. We stepped into her world. What is she going to be looking for in a man? And we got very clear. Some of it was hard to verbalize, but we got it all on paper. And then we began the process over the course of some time, working on each one of those items, driven by passion to incorporate those principles in his life so that he could show up that way in the world. Well, I still remember a couple of those really challenging hurdles and how courageously he took them on. You see, he couldn't find that relationship where he'd been looking for relationships before. He could not find that relationship with the way relationships are often handled. One day he called me. Year ago, last October. And said, my soulmate just came into my life. And she had been on a parallel path. By the way, I have permission to share the story. It's going to be in the book. She was on a parallel path. Coming out. out of a bad relationship and doing what she needed to do to put her life in a place where she could be attractive to an amazing man. And now they were together. A few months later, they were married. They now have their first son, a beautiful home, a great job, and a life that is just really so exciting to talk to him once a month in coaching sessions and hear how grateful he is about his life. This is how it's supposed to be. Now, I just put this in the book this weekend. It wasn't that long ago that we had a knock at our door. And Ramona and I opened the door, and it was a lady that we had known who had gone through a divorce because of the infidelity of her husband. And I had promised her that she would do everything she could do to be the best person she could be. She would meet her soulmate. And she had traveled over 1,000 miles to surprise us by introducing us to her soulmate. I can tell you more. But if you don't have that relationship, get clear on what you want, clear on what they will want, and then courageously take on those pieces. We may have to change some addictions. We may have to change some physical habits, habits of thinking. Maybe we're dragging around a sack of victimhood we'll need to let go and put in our heart and show up in the service of others. These principles will assist us in becoming that person and trusting that when you do, that door of opportunity will open. That's the way it works. And not a minute sooner. And when we try to force it, we'll probably end up in another bad relationship. Well, that gives us an idea. Bear with me just for a moment. I want to go to business now. You'll notice I started with your personal relationships, because quite often, the very things we want to create in these relationships will drive our desire to build a successful business. It will provide the economics to fund those opportunities. So we start there. Remember age 85, we're asking, what kind of health are we in? Emotionally, spiritually, financially. Well, we're living in a really crazy time. Things are so messed up economically. And this time, I highly recommend that from a financial goal, it's probably wise to stay around a one-year period. Because we start going out beyond that, and we may be creating something that we won't be able to fulfill in this economy. And then we've created expectations that become irritating and frustrating, cause us to catastrophize. Let's take a period of time that's relatively safe, 12 months out. I'm going to walk you through the steps so that you can absolutely know how to do this. And I'm going to pull this up because I was just working on this today. It was so fun. And I outlined this so it's so clear to me, at least, so I'll do my best to share it with you. Pull out your paper. I want you to write down on that paper how much money you'd like to make in the next 12 months. Just write it down. Just put a dollar sign and put the amount. Okay? Everybody got that? If you've got it, now we're going to have some fun with this number. I now want you to write underneath that number an amount equal to a 50% increase over this year's income. 50% increase. That's the maximum. So if you put $100,000 down and this year you made $50,000, you're going to change it to $75,000. That's a 50% increase over last year. If you wrote $2 million, appreciate the enthusiasm, but is that a 50% increase over last year? Did you make $1.33 million? We want a realistic goal. And Og says, I will raise my goal as soon as it's met. Scroll number 8. it's okay to raise it, but for now, let's create a number that's realistic. Now, if you have engaged in fantasy, and most of us have at some point, here's a challenge. We have had the same brain chemistry. I know this sounds like so redundant. The same brain chemistry, brain circuitry that's occurred in our mind that would occur if we're actually there. So if we've been thinking $1 million, and I'm just writing that down, $1 million, and we made $50,000 last year, we're thinking $1 million. We're thinking $1 million, and we probably have already gone to what it will purchase. We skipped to the million. Not how to get there, but we skipped to the million. And now we're thinking about what we're going to buy with $1 million. We've already bought the houses and the cars and paid off our debts and taken wonderful vacations. We've already done all of this in our mind. Same brain chemistry, brain circuitry, it's a done deal. In other words, when we decide to set a realistic goal from 50,000 to 75K, using that as an example, we may at first feel like we just failed. Just failed. That's not enough to get me excited about anything. Why would I work hard for $75,000? Oh, that won't even begin to buy what I want to do, want to have. That's true, compared to the fantasy. But goal setting is about reality. It's about creating our dream in a tangible reality. It's not about living in our dream in a castle in the sky. It's about actually building a foundation under the castle and moving into a real castle in reality. So just know, just if you feel that kind of anxiety, I did this once with a group about 6 weeks ago, and I was getting emails at 4 o'clock in the morning. People were having a hard time sleeping because they're coming to a reality about the discrepancy, the disparity between the amount they've been fantasizing about and the actual amount if it's a 50% increase. Now, in any other place in the world, 50% increase would be like, wow. But not if we've been engaging in fantasy. So just be with me for a moment and trust the process and write the 75 down. Again, you can raise the goal as soon as it's attained, but let's get to 75 first. So once we know the amount, then I want you to vividly visualize how you could use that extra money. If you made 50 last year, now you're 75, that's extra $25,000. That's real money. Who couldn't use $25,000 in their bank account tonight? Anybody want to turn that down because it's not a million? Let's take that $25,000 and think about the things that could be purchased that you cannot do right now in your life. If you have children, what could you do for your children and with your children? Would that $75 fund the 1 week for the year, the quarterly retreat, the monthly one day, the weekend dates? That's more than enough to do the whole thing to keep your relationship alive and growing. What else could you do with it? I want you to get clear so that in the sense of a realistic goal, you are having a very clear vision of possibility, because that will begin to, again, reignite your passion. Now we're clear. The amount, what we can buy with it. And now we go to step number three. Step number three, we want you to ask this question. I'm just putting a number down. How many lives will you need to impact in the next 12 months to generate that revenue? What are you talking about, Dave? We're getting ready to make a serious transition. We want to engage the power that governs abundance. We want a partner of such magnitude that there's just no doubt that this will be created. And the way we engage that partner is to stop focusing on money and start focusing on people. What could we do to bless those lives? So write down how many lives. If you're in a business where you're not quite sure, you might consult with a leader in your business and ask. For an example, if you came up with a number, 52 people. Now, if you happen to be like in a network marketing business or direct selling business, that means you're going to find one new prospect who embraces your business once a week. It's pretty clear. 52 people, 52 weeks. I just use that because it's an easy one to calculate. That means that every month you're going to find a little bit over four. Everybody got that so far? Every 6 months you're going to find 26. Every month we find the four. Every week we find the one. And we begin a process. We start focusing on the people. Now watch this. This is the part that if you choose to do, will change your life forever. You'll see that all of that vivid visualization you've been doing over there in fantasy, over there, was really great training for what you're about to do. We're just going to change the motivation. We no longer want to skip the rigors of life. We no longer want an easy way out. We no longer want to have no more stress and no more pain. We want to engage in life. We want to embrace principles. We want to connect with people and create value everywhere we go, and we want to contribute to the world. We've decided to come alive. That's where we are. And we have one person a week. We're going to find one person a week. And we began the visualization. Who are these people? Where are they? Now I share in the book and in the material both an exercise, and I'm going to walk you through it. Whatever business you're in, this will work. If you're a real estate agent, an insurance agent, you're in a sales position, customer service, wherever you are. I'm just going to use the example of direct selling and network marketing. We have a number of people on the line who are in that business. It's the toughest of all of those. So if we can do it there, we can do it anywhere. I want you to engage in this visualization. In your company, is there a time in the year where people are recognized for their accomplishments? Many companies do that once a year, at least. I want you to imagine that next year, you've been asked to stand up for 20 minutes at the national convention of your company and explain what you did. Everybody got it? Just close your eyes for a moment. You're walking up on stage. Let's say there's 5,000 people in the audience, just to make it really exciting. You've got the perfect PowerPoint. They've got screens on both sides of you. They've got a monitor in front of you. They've got screens half of the way back of the room so people in the back can see, because there's so many people, these big, massive screens, and you're it, and they've got a camera on you. You kind of glimpse to the side, and there you are, bigger than life, in this gigantic screen, and you're going to deliver this speech to help everybody there know how to do what you did. What are you going to say? Is this going to be about you? I want you to look down just for a moment, right in front of the stage. Four tables. 52 people. And there they are. Look at them for a moment. They're proud as punch. You didn't know them a year ago. You prospected, you searched, you hunted, you found, you encouraged, you supported, you lifted, you built. Sometimes babysat. But there they are, 52 of them. Your year's work. and you decide to spend a moment on each one of them. I want you to start on the right-hand side and work your way around the table. This exercise we don't have time to do in its entirety tonight. Someone said, this sounds crazy, Dave. I mean, where am I going to do this? Well, you're going to do it in the same place you fantasized about the dream house and the dream cars and being out of debt and all the hours that effortlessly poured into all of that. Pour it into this, and let me show you how to create a miracle in your life. Be in this meeting feeling what it would feel like to be there with the 52 people you sweat blood to find. And then have the first one stand. Call them by name. Well, do I make up the name? I don't know. Did you have to make up the rims on the Ferrari? Call them by their name. And share their story with the audience. Just be in the moment. Let your imagination flow. Be open to possibilities. Just let it unfold. Fantasies do this. In our fantasies, everything's just unfolding because our desire for it is so great. It just does. Here our desire was to find these 52 people, and here they are. We can feel what it was like. There's John. John, you rascal. I seem like I chased you for 6 months. Remember all the stories and excuses you gave me, John? And I worked and I struggled and I did everything possible to show up for you, and one day something happened. You remember that day, John? I stepped into your world and I listened to you and we finally got real. And you were looking for something different. And this turned out to be your something different. John, I'm so proud to have you as a friend. Can you feel that kind of conversation? Just let it flow. If anybody's on the phone going, oh, Dave, you're crazy. If anybody was a fly on the wall in our fantasies, can you imagine? Or right now being a fly on the wall on this one. Let it be yours. Because by the time you go around that table and you talk to those 52 people, if you're doing good work, your desire is to bless people. Products and services that you offer are noble. Work is noble. You can trust that there'll be a partner. And he just showed you who to look for. You see, when we are in mental rehearsal or exploration or inspiration, we're planning and goal setting using those very tools. We're connecting with a power greater than ourselves, and we're receiving inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. That is what is manifest in mental creation. It is a very real and critical stage of creation. Now, when you come out of that kind of visualization, you'll know the kind of people to look for, the kinds of places to look for them, the kinds of things that can occur. You will play it out in your mind, intrinsically validating conversations. You'll be better prepared. Literally, neural pathways in our brain are the neuronal connections are strengthened. Fear is mitigated. Our performance has been increased from that exercise. Athletes have been doing this for a lifetime. Practicing free throws and pitching perfect games and perfect ski runs. We're doing the same thing here in our goal-setting exercise. Now, they may not have the same names when we finally meet them. They may not be exactly in the same places. The conversations may not be the same. But you'll know the kinds of places to look, the kinds of people to talk to, and ways in which you have never considered before having a conversation. Can you imagine? And your mission now, using this example that we're discussing tonight, is to find one of those people each week. What are you going to do today? Everything on your to-do list is about finding that person. That is your work time. When you call someone on the phone, you can't wait to make phone calls. You're searching for this person. The question is, I'm curious, where is this person I'm talking to? What's happening in their life? I want to step in their world and find out they could be the one. And we search like that through the week. The other week we have the one. The next week another one. And the next week another one. When we are lined up, congruent and in connection, and we're not trying to escape it, we want to engage in it, and we want to serve people doing it, that little kernel of truth that made us want to believe that vivid visualization will somehow magically manifest tangible reality, that kernel of truth finally takes root, and it's suckered, and it germinates, and it explodes, and pops up through the ground, and is successful. There is a kernel of truth. And now you know it. Vivid visualization is extremely powerful. But only if we are engaged in life and desire to serve and bless the lives of others. That's it. Now we begin our process. What we're going to do each day, each week, each month. We're going to do 52 people in a year. We start writing ads. In the material, there's a discussion about one of my clients who wrote an ad, mentally rehearsed, explored possibilities, and wrote a incredible ad before he ever spent a dollar. He was looking for one of these people. He had seen this person. He knew what they needed. He knew what they were feeling. And he wrote his ad to speak to them. And 35 people in an hour said, I'm one of those people. Be with you for a moment. I want you to consider this possibility. Because when we mentally create connected and with an intention to bless, it's like we have the doors open to a celestial library of information that just pours out. Just waiting for us to engage appropriately, not selfishly, not about the money, not about what I want, not trying to get enough to tell the world to go to heck in a handbasket because I'm sick and tired of people. No, we want to bless and lift and build and engage with people. We're given entrance to that library of information. And it downloads to us. One of the most phenomenal examples of this is Og Mandino's own story. I'm going to end with it tonight. Og Mandino, an alcoholic, lost his first wife and first daughter, finds his sobriety, works his way up an insurance company, becomes the editor of Success Magazine, is given a contract by Fell Publishing to write the greatest salesman in the world. He writes the beginning, writes the end. In the middle is supposed to be the wisdom of the ages. 10 time-tested principles of success. I didn't know what to write. If I've told you this story before, it's just dear to my heart. I have felt this in my own mental rehearsals. I've watched this unfold. It's like I was there in the kitchen with him the night it happened. Because there he was, took 2 days off of work. He's sitting there just... You can feel him shifting into focusing on his readers. What could he write that would bless their lives? And suddenly, that library opened up, and out poured the wisdom of the ages. Today I begin a new life. Today I shed my old skin, which hath too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Today I am born anew, and my birthplace is a vineyard where there's fruit for all. He leaped from the table, went into his den, put that paper in that royal typewriter, started pounding on the keys as fast as he could take dictation. It just kept pouring in through the night. Betty kept bringing him Danish and coffee, and he just typed and typed and typed and typed and typed. 9 o'clock the next morning, he walks into the bedroom and says it's done, and collapsed on the bed. Slept for almost a day. It was now in tangible reality. 25 million people have verified the veracity and value of that moment in time. You want to build a business? You want to build one? Then create a target, a financial target. Don't make it so big that it's impossible. Just 50% bigger than last year. Then convert it to the number of people that you'll bless. Just getting a little message here on the computer. The connection was severed to the flash server. That's interesting. Hopefully everyone can still hear me. I have just restarted the broadcast. For those of you who are watching this on your computer, I'm sorry for those on the phone, I'll continue. We convert our financial vision to people. Then we mentally rehearse the people. And then we begin the process of finding the people. And you watch this dream come into tangible reality. This is a new way to create. But it uses, and uses, your greatest gift, vivid visualization, constructively. Well, next week, we're going to take on physical creation, the second half. It's going to be time for us to figure out how to take this passion and take our vision and create it. Actually do the work of the creation, the second half of that process. We're going to give you some principles and practices and processes so that you can begin to implement this. Because our first shift is from fantasy to constructive thought. Our next one will be to bringing those, that passion into the here and now and staying in the here and now to actually create. We're all over the place and quite often everywhere but present in the now. And we'll give you processes to do that. Thank you for being with us tonight. For next week, I'd like you to study the same two scrolls, scroll 6 and scroll 10. Scroll 6, weak is he who allows his thoughts to control his actions. Not going there today. I'm going to stay in a constructive thought process. And this week, begin the goal-setting process. Get very clear on exactly what it is you want to create in this next year. Then convert it to people and begin the process of seeing those people, getting a clear vision. And next week, we'll talk about how to actually do the physical creation of that process.